Final case this morning is 21-1181, Comm Software v. NetApp. Mr. Farnham, please proceed when you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. For this case, I would like to start with the several issues. I would like to start with why NICAR does not negotiate an access privilege with a portion of the storage medium. NICAR was a manual about how to use filter drivers. Anyone does not have that claim that it invented a filter driver. It existed. It's recognized to be in the prior art. What Kaivan does, it talks about specific uses. NICAR just teaches how the drivers operate, and then gives a use case. The claims here require that the access privilege is associated with the storage media, meaning the actual underlying storage. NICAR does not mention or teach anything about underlying storage. What NICAR says is, and what it relied on, was that the filter driver would teach with attached to a device object, and NICAR's teachings. That's just a function of filter drivers. That is simply a description of what filter drivers do. That doesn't say anything about the underlying storage, and it doesn't associate any kind of access privilege with that storage. So the idea here is that if you have, a hard drive or a tape drive, those drives themselves individually have their own types of privileges associated with them. A teaching of the device object, which would then be file system, simply does not teach that, does apply to that. R would operate the same way, regardless of what storage is attached to it or underneath. Doesn't matter, there's no actual privilege associated with that underlying storage of by the car. Then a question of that. Boston is similar. Boston also discloses a process restriction filter. All Boston is doing is changing the path name for certain files. Again, this is simply done based on that it's related to the file. It doesn't do anything, again, as to the actual underlying storage media. So, these are coming out of the perspective of storage of files to big enterprise storage, and what actually is important here is that those underlying storages have their own privileges, have their own policies, things of that nature. Neither NICAR nor Boston teach anything like that. And the error here, I think, that the board committed was finding that things that are completely contained within the file system, the process restriction filter, or this idea of antivirus software, all it discloses is a connection to the lower level device object to the filter. It doesn't address or touch upon something that's actually associated with underlying storage media, underlying storage device. There are a couple of dependent claims I'd also like to touch on. The first one is going to be claim 4, 477 patent involving Denning. This one actually did get a split decision underneath from the board. Denning was so the claim itself requires that there's evaluations of the file contents, and there's a decision to allow or delete file based on that evaluation. Denning simply teaches that you can give access to files to certain people. There is not, contrary to what the board decided, any decision made about whether to allow the file or delete the file or anything else. It's simply a decision of this person has access. How you can tell this is what would Denning do under different circumstances. So somebody comes in, see if they can get access to files, say, because the department field is physics, and they're going to be allowed to alter the contents.
Mr. Farnham, for claim 4, can you talk a little bit about the full limitation, which talks about at least one of allowing or deleting the file? And what does that phrase, at least one of, mean for this claim limitation? So as long as you allow a file, maybe that's good enough. Or if you just simply delete a file, that's good enough.
So even under that do, Your Honor, Denning doesn't apply because it doesn't do either. If access is granted under Denning, nothing after the file sits on the drive. If access is denied, the file sits there. Nothing is done based on the evaluate. The claim requires at least one of the line or deleting based on the evaluate. The evaluation of Denning is, and for example, like, is the department field of physics. If it is, this user can now go in and alter the file. File is a file. There's no allowing of the file. There's not a decision of, like, let's not delete that file, or let's keep that file. All that does is that this user has access. And in claims, well, you know, the way the board read
what,
this.
What does allowing mean? What does allowing mean to you? I mean, maybe allowing, there's just not much that. Not much work to do for that kind of a limitation. Allowing could mean really little more than permitting something to exist and not deleting it.
Your Honor, as I said, even under that view, it has to be based on the evaluated. So allowing does not mean it is granting permission to access a file. It wasn't argued that way, it wasn't interpreted that way. You know, the way the board said, well, it didn't get deleted. Well, not deleting, there was a decision, and that was the point made by the dissent, there was no decision to leave the file there or to delete the file. And Denning's evaluation had nothing to do with anything about whether that file is allowed or deleted. And
do I remember right, and just correct me if my memory is off, the board said since there's a step after looking at the content, namely this is Professor So-and-so's student or something, the next step is to take action to alter the file, which necessarily incorporates an allowing of the file. Because otherwise there'd be nothing to take action on. Is that what the board said? It presupposes the action that this is Denning, right? That Denning teaches presupposes, logically presupposes, allowing it.
Right. So it needs to allow the file. And I don't think allowing, as I said, granting it permission to give access to the file, not allowing the file. And I think the way that this actually got interpreted, they actually called allowing, not deleting. So it's a little bit different than just nothing. I think the board, you know, and how this got discussed, they kind of redefined that as not deleting the file. Well, there was no decision about deleting or not deleting. And that was how the board actually looked at allowing. There are no further questions on that. I want to also quickly address the forcing of a secure razor for fleet operation. two quick points on Kung. Kung will not force anything. In Kung, all that happens is you put in a fleet operation, you then send a pop-up window saying you want to, you know, securely delete the file. That's not forcing. Now, forcing has meaning here. It doesn't just say, you know, in the claim language, it doesn't just say, ask the person if they want to delete or not. And the reason for that, you can see in the specification where it talks about types of things this applies to. So, for example, it mentions DoD regulations that may require that you actually have to do a secure erasure of a file and a certain file. System means that you can do that, but I want to make sure that every user in your enterprise understands which files and keeps track of those files. That will be automated and all that gets forced simply upon a deletion.
But I guess I'm not sure I understand this, but the claim doesn't require who or what causes the forcing, does it, of the secure erasure? It's a method claim that just requires forcing for a delete operation. Why isn't the board right that's sufficient?
Because forcing means that it definitely happens. It says forcing secure for delete. Not provide an example where it's forced and it actually happens. Kung asks the user what he wants to do. That's not forcing the operation. That means go back to the example, that means that you can then sit there and have files that, you know, should have been securely deleted from some government regulation, and it doesn't happen because your user is the one making that decision. And the tongue also, we think, is not actually a piece of secure erasure here, as it's meant. So secure erasure is the actual override of the file. Some piece of encryption, and the file contents are still there. And that's, I know tongue is saying it's kind of an alternative to secure erasure, but secure erasure means that you can replace all of that with zeros. That's right. You go in and you get rid of all of that data, so it's not sitting there, it can't be found, it can't be accessed later. If there are no further questions, then I'd like to reserve the rest of my time.
Thank you. Mr. Goldberg, we're ready whenever you are.
May it please the Court. I'd like to start with our cross-appeal for Claims 4, 34, 69, and 103 of the 243 patent. The Board only found these claims patentable because it agreed with Calm that the steps of the claims required a specific order. The Board was wrong on this claim construction issue. As we told the Board, and according to Interactive Gift, unless the steps of a method actually recite an order, the steps are not ordinarily construed to require one. The claims do not recite an order here. Yet the Board held that Claim 4, for example...
Well, I guess I'm a little clear on your cross-appeal. The plain claim language, doesn't that require that a file is created first, and only then can the content of the file be evaluated? I don't understand how any content of the file can be evaluated if the file hasn't been created first. So that's why I think the steps seem sequential.
Well, the reason, Your Honor, that we know that the steps do not need to be sequential is the specification of the patent. This is the 243 patent. Actually specifies ways that the content of the file can be evaluated first. For example, at Appendix 1230 to 1231, we can see in column 18, starting at line 61, according to an exemplary embodiment.
You've got to give me a second. I'm sorry.
Yes.
1230, column 18, you said?
Yeah, at the bottom.
Yeah.
Line 61.
I mean there. Go ahead.
According to an exemplary embodiment, the trap layer may determine if a file is harmful based on the content of a file. In an exemplary embodiment, the trap layer may determine if the file is a computer virus, malware, adware, spyware, computer worm, etc. According to an exemplary embodiment, content group may comprise types of harmful or malicious files. In an exemplary embodiment, this is the key part, the trap layer may prevent harmful files from being created. So it's looking at the content of the file, as we saw at the bottom of column 18, and then this is before the file is even created, because in column 19, we see that the trap layer actually prevents those files from being created in the first place.
I'm sorry, what is this, the line number of column 19 where it says prevent creation?
One.
So actually starting on the very first line
Okay. Of
column 19, third word, the trap layer may prevent harmful files from being created. So it's doing the analysis before the file is even created. Otherwise, it wouldn't be able to prevent it from being created. So we have in the specification explanation that it can go in a different order. The plain language of the claims does not specify any particular order.
And which claim are we looking at for this discussion of?
Claim 4 is a good claim to look at.
Claim 4 of the 243?
Yeah, this is at Appendix 1237.
Okay.
And the key step at steps.
Assumption, right, this is column 18, 19 paragraph talks about an activity consisting of somehow identifying a file not yet created as bad and then not creating it. How would that map on to claim 4?
So in claim 4, it specifies that the allowing or the denying by the at least one computer processor the attempted operation comprises. So looking at applying, mapping this to the column 18, column 19, first we're going to evaluate whether we're going to evaluate the content of the file. We're going to look and we're going to see if it has a virus or malware or something like that. And then...
And I'm sorry, and if that comes first, what is the antecedent basis for the word the in front of file?
Well, the antecedent basis would remain the same. It's in the create a file step. But antecedent basis alone is not sufficient to require a specific order. We know that, for example, from the interactive gift case, where the claim...
Okay, put aside the antecedent basis.
Yes.
So we're now reorder it. We're going to evaluate a content of the file without knowing what the file is yet. Let's assume that that's not a problem. Then what happens?
So assuming that the content's not a problem, it's not a virus or something like that, at that point it would be allowed. So at the end of the claim, at least one of allowing the attempted operation, and the attempted operation going back up is creating. So we go back up and we allow the create file operation to create a file. So
I
we
guess
are doing.
I'm not following it. I mean, I'm looking at the language and it says the trap layer may prevent harmful files from being created. Okay. But then it goes on to say that it may allow a harmful file to be created to evaluate the content of the file and then delete the file if the file is determined to be harmful, which seems to map onto the claim language. So you're taking that one sentence and say that that one sentence necessarily is what defines or redefines what these steps are in claim four?
I wouldn't say that it's defining or redefining. I would say that it is one of the embodiments that claim four can cover. The language that Your Honor just read would be another embodiment that that claim language would be able to cover. And the reason why it is able
indeed, it would be the one on for which Claim 4 seems perfectly written in that sequence.
Well, Your Honor, I think, again, the claim would be able to cover both of those embodiments because the claim language itself does not require that specific order, and the specification does have this other embodiment where it goes out of order. And I'll note that the claim...
So we're in that read of that one sentence. All it says is the trap layer may prevent harmful files from being created. So how does that map on to the claim four language? Which this talks about prevents them from being created.
Well, what the language in claim 19 is showing is that you are able to evaluate before you have created the file, because in column 19, you're able to have completed that evaluation and then prevent the file from being created.
So if claim four has three steps in allowing the creation of a file, the evaluating content of the file, and then at least one of allowing an attempted operation or deleting the file based on the evaluating, are you attempting to describe what's explained at column 18 to column 19 as tracking first you do step 2, then you do step 3, then you do step 1?
Exactly, Your Honor.
So what would, in your understanding, be the allowing the attempted operation?
Allowing the attempted operation would be the allowing the create file operation.
Doesn't that collapse step 3 into step 1 or step 1 into step 3? Doesn't step 3 need to be something, a separate action from the action described in step 1?
Your Honor, I don't think that it does, because if you look at the preamble of the claim, the attempted operation is actually, it's all of those steps.
This is, I guess, just returning to what I think is closely related, the point that Judge Prost made. The carryover sentence from 18 to 19 is all about deleting, not about allowing. So in that situation, you would have evaluating something, deleting it, and then nothing could conceivably be left of the first allowing limitation. It couldn't possibly ever be performed in that process. So it's a little bit odd to read from that trap layer may prevent harmful files from being created, as that would give no function at all to element number one, reordered, in your view, to be last.
Well, Your Honor, if we were in the deleting context, then...
That's what your key sentence from the spec is in the deleting context.
No, Your Honor. The deleting context is actually the sentence after the one that I was referring to. So I've been referring to the sentence that bridges columns 18 and 19 that talks about preventing harmful files from being created. Yeah.
So that's a circumstance where they're never created. I don't understand why one would construe the specification as necessarily saying that maps on to claim 4, and then, so you're saying the evaluating step goes first, and you evaluate it under your view, and you prevent the file from being created after the evaluation. So where do you get to creating file operation?
Preventing the creation is neither of the two options in the listed thing.
Yes, right. Yes, Judge.
So it's actually the point... only element that is met by that sentence is number two, neither one nor three.
Yeah, and my reliance on that sentence is not to say that that sentence is the claim. It's just to point out that it is possible to evaluate content of files before the files have been created. That's the only thing that I'm relying on that sentence for.
But if you evaluate the file and then you don't like the file, and so per step three you delete the file based on said evaluation, then there's no opportunity to do step one, allowing the creation of the file, right?
I believe that's correct, Your Honor, but as I think you were recognizing earlier with respect to one of the other claims, the way that the end of this claim is written, the at least one of allowing or deleting, we never have to get to that deleting option. There's no requirement that we do that. This claim can cover situations where deleting never happens.
We spent a lot of time on your cross appeal, so why don't you go to the main appeal and maybe address what your friend said about Denning and maybe also about Kung, if you have time.
Yes. So first, with respect to Denning, there's been some question about what does allowing mean? And my colleague on the other side was talking about how the board took certain positions on what it means. Well, the reason that the board took certain positions is because COM told the board what allowing means at the oral hearing. COM told the board that allowing a file means to not delete it after evaluating. That was their explanation to the board. And that is why, in the board's final written decision, as Judge Taranto was recognizing earlier, in Denning, you have the alteration that is happening, and necessarily that means, if you're going to be altering it, the file, that you must not have deleted it. So therefore, you have met the allowing limitation under COM's own understanding of allowing that it told the board. And that's why the board made the findings that it made.
Now, maybe the fact that the other side said that to the board, that KOM said that to the board, is enough by itself. But if one swapped in the phrase not deleting for allowing, are we looking at claim 4? Is that, again, what we're doing? Claim 4 of... Which claim are we looking at?
This is claim 4 in the 477. Slightly different.
Then the last step would be at least one of not deleting or deleting the file based on said evaluation, where the not can be entirely passive. Does that leave any actual meaning to that phrase?
Yes, I believe it does, Your Honor, because even if the not deleting is passive, it is still a requirement in the sense that you could have situations where the claim wouldn't be met. For example, if there was a situation where the file was deleted, that would not be met by the claim.
Seems to me not deleting and deleting pretty much cover the universe, don't they?
Yes, they do. Yes, they cover the universe, Your Honor.
But for that to have meaning, and maybe this is what KOM is what one way of describing what KOM is getting at, is there actually has to be a decision focused on the choice, delete or not. But this presupposed continuation, which I think is what the board did in saying Denning, by saying going and alter it must presuppose that it remains, what's missing there is any, if one thinks of the computer as conscious, a conscious decision to do one or the other, and Denning doesn't refer to such a thing.
Well, in the claim itself, there just is simply no requirement for a choice to be made like that. The claim simply requires at the end that you do at least one of allowing or deleting. There's no choice language there. They could have written the claim to say that a choice needs to be made, but they didn't do that. It just says allowing or deleting. As we know, Com said that allowing means not deleting. And in Denning,
It's not an unnatural meaning of a phrase like that to refer to a choice based on, I think was a term used, on an input consisting of the question, do I delete or not?
Well, in that sense, Your Honor, Denning does make that choice because Denning, when it looks at the content and it determines that it is of a particular nature, then it will allow alteration. And in order to allow alteration, it has to not delete. So there is a choice in that sense being made. And it is resulting in the not deleting, which Com's attorneys has said.
Based on the evaluation of the content of the file, though, I think that's part of the claim, right?
Yes.
At least one of allowing the file or denying
or
deleting, it's based on the evaluation.
Yes.
So I guess the question is, what is it on the evaluation of, I don't know, that physics department field that Denning is saying, we're allowing this?
Well, based on looking at the field, if it includes certain information, then the decision is made, yes, we're going to allow alteration. And if we're going to allow alteration, that necessarily means that we're not going to delete. If Denning was to come across a situation where alteration was not going to be allowed, then there very well may be deletion that happens. And I see I'm long past my time.
Any further? Okay, thank you. If necessary, we'll restore a minute of rebuttal to the cross.
Thank you.
Okay, we're ready, sir.
So let's start with Denning, since we just left off there, Your Honor. I think that for this report, this report, there has to be something done on that valuation. What that means in this context is, you know, there has to be some kind of choice made on the evaluation that affects the status of that file, either not deleted allowed or being deleted. In Denning, and it's point four. If access is granted, the file stays there. If any makes an evaluation and access is not granted, the file stays there and comes up to pleasure and like, oh, well, you know, no, maybe it could be deleted. That's nowhere in any. That's nowhere in the board's decision. There's nothing to suggest that at all here. But I think that recognizes it does have to be, you know, based on the evaluation term. This term does not say make an evaluation and then just have some random phrase after it about allowing or deleting a file. Completely unrelated to the evaluation that was made. And I think this is essentially the point that was made by the dissent below, that choice that had to be made and that was required to be based on the content of the file. You know, and for that reason, we think that decision should be turning to be a cross appeal. You know, the first thing I'd like to point out is that there's a lot of discussion here of some of the language. The most important part of that language was at the very beginning of those paragraphs, where it said, in an exemplary environment. And a lot of it, you know, this would not have happened that says, if I'm telling you the language that you present invention, it defines things clearly. You know, all the description there is things, it was talking about an exemplary embodiment. And a lot of the struggle here then, of course, to get that to fit to those claims, because that's not the embodiment that's in those claims. That was just discussing one way of doing that. That isn't what claim, that's why it doesn't read on these claims. The claims themselves are not like interactive. Yeah, here there is a definite order that's required because of the antecedent basis issues, you know, and the structure that it gives to those claims, and it requires that it be done in an order. So we don't think interactive gets this applicable here. It didn't raise this kind of mercy to address this issue. You know, they made some argument about some of the antecedent basis issues in interactive gifts, but it wasn't actually even an issue the court addressed. They cited the case kind of looking at the claims and saying, oh, look, there's antecedent basis issues over these claims that weren't a problem for the order. Well, it wasn't even raised in the court there. So, for that reason, we think that interactive gift does not apply in this case. Do you have any further questions on anything else that?
No. Thank you. Thank you very much. And thanks for your cooperation for all this back and forth. Thank you. Okay, Mr. Goldberg, we'll give you 1 minute to respond exclusively to the cross appeal.
Just two quick points, Your Honors. One, this issue, the ordering, is definitely something that the board addressed. For example, at Appendix 1180, it's something that we argued below. And in Com's blue brief, they even quoted a lot of your argument below about this, so I don't think there's any issues here about being a new argument. And then as to interactive gift, I just want to note that in that case, the claim recited each information in a first step and then the information in a fourth step. That antecedent relationship there was not something that caused the court to say there's a specific order required. The court there found that the plain language of the claims did not require any specific order. And unless there's any questions, I'll stop there.
Thank you. We thank both sides. The case is submitted. That concludes our proceedings for this morning.